The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
We did a complete computer overhaul and software overhaul, so I'm expecting a lot of very interesting anomalies tonight. Any anomalies you hear tonight will not be supernatural or paranormal in nature. They will be me fumbling with the wrong faders on the mixer, or the wrong buttons on the keyboard, or the wrong looking at the wrong computer at the wrong time, because everything is different. We ran a little bit of a test just before the show started, which you may or may not have heard if you were on YouTube. I'm sure you heard it. And just playing some audio to test that. Now, if you hear anything odd, if something doesn't sound right to you, please let me know in the chat room so that I can try to address it as we move forward here. But either way, we're going to have a great show. We've got Nicole Beauchamp about her new book called Haunted Bay City. It's about Bay City, Michigan. And she's got a number of local hauntings. She's from Bay City. And talking about those locations, talking about the preservation of some of those historic sites, and also erasing some of the stigma associated with the paranormal community in general. So again, as I mentioned, we're doing a lot of changing here with equipment and computers. And if anything is strange or out of the ordinary, please mention it in the chat room. Hopefully I'll see it. If I don't reply to you and you mention something, please mention it a couple times. I don't always get to see the comments because sometimes my attention is diverted elsewhere and or the comments are scrolling through rather quickly. Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we will start our conversations tonight. It's Beyond Reality, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Beyond Reality Paranormal. I'm your host, J.V. Johnson. I'm going to ask that you support this program. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is if you're listening as a podcast, you just open up the description of the episode and you scroll down to the bottom. And at the bottom, there is a link that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that gives you a couple of options for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us bring great programs to you every week, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And if you're enjoying the program on YouTube, there's another way you can support the show. Just go to the description. You'll see a link to a Patreon page. It's Johaw, J-O-H-A-W. And if you go to the Patreon page, you'll be able to pledge an amount to help support the show as well. Once again, thanks for your support. Thank you for listening. Please share it with your friends.
We've got returning guest Nicole Beauchamp joining us. She's got a new book out, and it's called Haunted Bay City. Nicole, welcome back to Beyond Reality. It's great to have you back again.
Thank you so much. Like, I'm just really honored that you would have me back again.
Well, you've done a lot. Yeah, well, you've done some great work, so we need to talk about it. That's how it all works here. And I need to know, first of all, you grew up in Bay. Did you grow up in Bay City, or do you live there now?
I was born and raised in Bay City. I moved away for a little while, you know, to go to school, and then I thought I'd try Florida for a while, but I did wind up back here, so obviously I like it a little bit.
And, of course, we're talking about Bay City, Michigan. Now, you, Bay City is like Cooperstown, New York, in the sense that we get a pretty harsh winter. We get a pretty short summer. Fall is nice, but it only lasts about 3 weeks. And spring sometimes seems to take forever to come around. So you went to Florida, which is completely the opposite in the sense that it's nicer, warmer, obviously. But you're I guess, a northern girl at heart.
Yeah, I really like the community here. I will say, like, I just love all things paranormal, all things horror. And, you know, in Florida, they just don't do, like, Halloween like we do up here. It's just, I mean, we treat this like Christmas, you know. Yeah, but down there, it's like maybe there's one haunted house. And that's about it. Unless you're, like, in Orlando where you're going to Universal Studios. Then that's a different story, but
yeah, that's an interesting observation you just made, because I know that to be true. I run a number of paranormal and horror-based conventions and events, and they don't fly the same way. They don't have the same effect in the South. And the further south you go, the less effect they seem to have. I don't know if it's because we have long, dark winters here that we, you know, we kind of gravitate towards some of this kind of entertainment where other people don't. I'm not sure what the explanation is, but your observation is so true.
I know. Yeah, I discovered it. And, you know, as much as I mean, I've had my paranormal team since 2009. So, you know, I was just finding like the lack of, I guess, places to investigate and things to do as far as the paranormal goes. I just wasn't very happy. Not to say that Florida's like doesn't have, you know, it's not pretty or there's not things to do like other than that. But, you know, I really like took a very strong liking to New Orleans when I went there. But I mean, I guess they really embraced that kind of aspect of their culture in New Orleans. So it's a little different.
Yeah, New Orleans is definitely, first of all, it's got a tremendous paranormal depth. And secondly, people seem to really, I don't know if it's honor or respect or love or what it is, but they definitely are in tune with the paranormal parts of their culture.
Oh, yeah, they just embrace it. And, you know, it's like for people that like to do this kind of stuff, it's, you know, it's like you just go there and you just feel like you're at home, you know. Like my home away from home, even though I've never been raised there or anything like that, but it just has that feel for me.
So you move back home. Obviously you're involved in the paranormal community. You're an investigator and an author. So give us the kind of the path that led you to writing the book, Haunted Bay City.
Uh-huh. Well, I've had an interest in the paranormal my entire life, and I've always had an interest in history. And so with that being said, I've also been writing my entire life. I used to write stories as a child, ghost stories and, you know, horror stories. Sometimes I wonder why my parents didn't enroll me in therapy, honestly, because some of them were a little dark. Everybody kind of saw me going in this path where I was eventually going to do something greater, I guess, with my talent for writing. So I've been trying to find a way to do write a book for a while, and it was like the opportunity just kind of fell in my lap. One of the editors from the History Press or Arcadia Publishing contacted me to write a book about hauntings. So as soon as I got that email, I mean, I didn't quite know like how extensive it was going to be, like all the research and how hard of, you know, hard it was going to be to write the book. But nonetheless, I immediately said yes. So,
well, that's fun. Tell me a little bit about Bay City. First of mm-hmm. all, I have to ask, are the Bay City Rollers have anything to do with Bay City, Michigan, or is that a completely different Bay City?
I don't think so. I want to say
you would know.
Like,
you
I
would
don't
know.
Even, I, yeah.
You probably don't even know who the Bay City Rollers are, do you?
I know they're a band, but
yeah, they were one hit wonder from the 70s. They had a song called Saturday Night that was very, very popular for a period of time. But anyway, tell us about Bay City. Do you think Bay City has a higher degree of haunting or paranormal activity than most communities, or is it about the same, or what's interesting about it?
Well, actually, if you've never been to Bay City before and you just come here, especially during the summer, we have beaches here that actually look like you're in Florida. Like you probably wouldn't be able to tell if someone had like put a blindfold over your eyes and like sat you down and took it off, you would not know if you were in Florida or in Michigan. That's like, we have some beautiful waterways here. And it's honestly like a summer town. You know, people come here to see the Tall Ships festival that they have. It's called the Tall Ship Celebration. We have a giant, like the biggest firework display, like in the country, or it's in the top like three biggest firework displays in the country. So a lot of people gravitate here in the summer. However, what a lot of people don't know, and what I actually uncover in my book, is that the history of Bay City is actually like super dark, super violent. Of course, not every history associated with each location in the book is violent.
Right.
But the origins of Bay City itself are very violent. You know, you with the book, you are going to learn a lot about how dangerous it was back in the day, and you learn about some of the seedy characters that would, like, be roaming around town. So it's just, like, totally day and night, you know, compared to the past.
Right. Right. So at what point did you start becoming interested in the hauntings or maybe even legends or folklore of hauntings in Bay City?
Oh, my gosh. Since I was, honestly, since I've been really young, but I didn't know that people did, like, the ghost hunting thing. So it wasn't until I actually discovered ghost hunters that I was like, oh, hey, like, maybe I could start my own team. But the interest dates back to way before I even knew about ghost hunters. I mean, I was, like, probably, oh, God, probably, like, 6 years old, and I saw this library here called the Sage Library, and I just had heard it was haunted, but nonetheless, I've always wanted to, like, get in there and investigate it. And finally, I think it was in 2013 we actually did. But, I mean, it was like a lifelong dream to get in there.
So you start. So when you became an adult, you started to investigate and visit some of these locations. Was there a hit list? Did you have a top five places in Bay City that you wanted to investigate because of the reports of hauntings?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I moved away for a little while, so I did a lot of investigations at, you know, a lot of historic landmarks, like across the United States and, you know, outside of Bay City, but I still do have a list of places in Bay City that I'm still interested in investigating, definitely.
How many places would you say you've investigated? A dozen? 100? 5? What do you think?
Like, overall, like...
In Bay City.
Oh, in Bay City? Oh, not that. I would probably say, like, probably between, like, 5 and 10.
Okay. And how many places are in the book? How many places were you able to include in Haunted Bay City?
Oh, man. I want to say there's, like, 10 or 11 different locations in the book. This is just, mm-hmm. I could tell you what they all are, but.
Okay, well, we'll get to a few of them. I certainly want to know what your favorites are, but how does this particular project, Haunted Bay City, this book, differ from maybe other books that are paranormal in nature?
Well, my goal has and will always be to preserve history, and especially my local history in my hometown. So what I want to do with each book that's purchased when I finally get my royalties check, I want to donate a portion of that check to different locations that are listed in the book. So that way I can help.
So part of what you want to do with the proceeds from the book is actually try to save some of these locations or get involved in historic preservation.
Yes, exactly. And another way that my book differs from, I believe, other people's is that I try to set the record straight. That's what I like to say. I like to set the record straight with the stigma attached to the paranormal community, because most people are really cool with it, but you got to select few who still are like, what are these people doing? Like, how could they be so disrespectful, you know? And that's just like the complete opposite of what I want to be associated with. Like,
okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, yeah, sure. When paranormal reality television shows like Ghost Hunters hit the air, it really changed the paradigm. More people were introduced to this idea of investigating or hunting for ghosts or whatever it happens to be. And once that kind of became a little bit more accepted, people were willing to have these conversations. I always say that discussions about ghosts went from, you know, in the dark corner of the room to the dining room table. They became acceptable. They became not necessarily normal all the time, but certainly people were familiar with the terms and the ideas. And that was a big switch. That was a big change. So are you saying that since that point, there are still what you would consider to be a stigma attached to the idea of paranormal investigating?
Oh, for sure. And you know, I've noticed it even with like local investigators, people that are in the community. you know, this whole debate about whether to call it ghost hunters or paranormal investigators. But my whole thing is like, whatever you want to call yourself, like, that is totally your business, but we got bigger issues here. Like, we gotta work to save history. There's people out there, like, trying to, like, get answers about the afterlife. But, like, we need to look at the big picture here instead of focusing on, like, the little unimportant details, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny to me because after Ghost Hunters, there were so many other shows that approached paranormal investigating in a similar way with their own nuances, but it was still, you know, these shows became very, very popular. And it wasn't just ghost hunting. You've got, you know, you had UFO hunters and you had Bigfoot hunters and, you know, all of these paranormal topics that, again, we used to kind of put on the upper shelf. You know, I don't mean that in a high class way. I mean that in kind of hidden out of the way, as far as our discussions go. And they all these conversations started to become a little bit more, actually a lot more mainstream. So I'm surprised that I am surprised, but I'm certainly not super surprised that there are still people that would cock an eyebrow when you tell them that you're a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator.
Well, it's a little bit of a smaller town. It's not like, you know, Detroit or New York City or, of course, New Orleans. So I would say most people are very, like, accepting of it. Like, there's been such a huge response to people who are very interested in the book coming out and who've been pre-ordering it and all that. But there have been organizations that would not work with me when I was writing the book, and I won't say who they are.
Well, what kind of organizations are you talking about that you would need in these people that just wouldn't let you write about their location? Is that what you're talking about?
It was not the library system, but it was a research organization, and they were just hiding their files from me pretty much. I had to pretty much go to different universities and libraries and historical societies all over the United States to get information. But I mean, I went to the library system here. It was not the library system. Like, they're okay. Awesome.
I don't need to know who it is. I'm just trying to get a sense of what kind of, I mean, it was like, when you said that, I'm thinking, okay, was it the police department wouldn't give you, you know, information from their files, or was it a haunted location that wouldn't give you information from their files? I mean, some of the places, like, one of the things I know from working with ghost hunters is that there are places like hotels. Some of them will embrace this paranormal idea if they've got activity because it'll bring paranormal tourists. But other hotels will say, no, we don't want to touch that. We don't want to disturb our guests. We don't want them thinking there are ghosts running around our halls. Mm-hmm. You know, so they can take one of two very different approaches to this.
What I will say is it was an organization involved with history.
Okay.
So if that clears it up at all. But yeah, I mean, I had to, I really had my work cut out for me, but I wasn't going to let, like, this fork in the road stop me. I just kept going.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So you're writing the book. How long did it take to write this?
I think it took me about 4 or 5 months.
And the book is a collection of locations in Bay City, Michigan that have what, a reputation for being haunted, or are they good in some cases folklore that we would call ghost stories about locations throughout Bay City, or is it a combination of both?
It's definitely a combination of both. There are some stories in there that, you know, people are very comfortable with the spirit they believe, you know, is in their business, and other stories in there are just, like, totally chilling. So it's definitely a combination of both.
All right, give us a couple, let's start, we're going to try to talk about a couple of your favorites that are included in the book. So give us one right now.
Probably one of my favorite locations in the book is the Masonic Temple and the Scottish Rite Masonic Center. They're like two different buildings, but they're like connected together.
Mm-hmm.
There is a former secretary who has been seen. Sometimes he is seen as far as like a full-bodied apparition, and other times he is just seen from the waist down. and appears as a pair of legs.
Yeah, but, that's kind of creepy.
But that being said, I mean, there's been a lot of different types of spirits actually reported in the building. So in the book, I talk about what some of those spirits look like and what some of the volunteers and, you know, what some of the volunteers and workers have reported while they're there.
Have you investigated that particular location?
I am working on it. We were actually going to do it prior to the shutdown, but we're going to have to wait now.
We got a shutdown going on, don't we? I've forgotten about that. And that really puts a monkey wrench into everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I just want to wait it out, I think. Like, I know a lot of other people are still going out and investigating, but here I'm just going to wait it out. And it'll be worth it, I'm sure.
So as you were writing these and researching these locations and putting this together for a book, for the book Haunted Bay City, what types of research techniques did you use? You mentioned the library. You mentioned you've traveled all over the country to gather research. But what was the best source or best sources that you had to put this information together?
I mean, I would say the old archives at the library. I went there and I got a whole bunch of old archives and I just copied all the old papers.
Yeah, but so I guess this is kind of a more direct way to ask this question. What sources keep track of haunted stories? Is it newspaper reports primarily that you were finding that would talk about, the Masonic Temple had reports of a ghost last night? I mean, where does this stuff show up?
Well, there was some newspaper articles, but very few. To be honest with you, a lot of this stuff has never been, published before until, when this book comes out. It's going to be, the first time a lot of these stories have actually been publicly told.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this came from rumors that had been circulating over the years, and then what I did is I went to go talk to, the staff. I put feelers out for anybody who may have went to these locations and had an experience and, met with each person and interviewed them. So it was really just like hearing the rumors about which places had activity and then following up with people.
Okay. So you actually, I don't know whether you made some Facebook posts or whatever and said, hey, if you've got a story to tell me, let me know. And then you went out and researched and you got some firsthand accounts and firsthand testimony I'm gathering.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. And that in itself was, could at times was a grueling process, but I think it just makes everything better. And I think that's, another way that maybe my book is different than other people's in that I wanted to make sure that it was in no way exploitative to the community. I wanted to make sure that everybody was satisfied with the chapters. I sent them to each person who was, featured in the book. They approved them. They amended anything that was maybe incorrect, because when you're typing up a story, if you get anything wrong, I wanted to correct it. So, I got their full consent and help with that process.
That's very respectful. I hope that didn't mean you had to edit out any of the good information, though.
Actually, I was surprised. I thought some of the places were going to tell me to change it, but everybody was just everybody was so happy with their chapter, the way I portrayed their structures and themselves in the book that, everybody that's in the book is very excited about the release of it.
When does it come out?
It comes out on September 14th.
Oh, so just 2 weeks, I guess. One of the things that I've always thought was very, very important, actually not important, some things have unintended consequences, and this is, I think, a really good unintended consequence of the interest in paranormal investigating, is this effort to restore and to save some of our historic landmarks, and maybe not even, sometimes they're not even landmarks, they're just buildings and communities that have fallen into disrepair but have a tremendous story. Sometimes they're beautiful buildings that have just been left to rot. But this interest in paranormal investigating has revived a lot of these places, and it sounds like that's something that's important to you too.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, I've always had an interest in history and always had an interest in the paranormal, and when I created my society, I wanted a way to combine the two interests, and I totally agree with you. I mean, my team alone has given thousands of dollars to different, you know, locations all over, yeah. And this is just really important to us to keep these buildings standing for generations to come and to, you know, to make some of these older buildings, like, wheelchair accessible so that other people can enjoy them. So definitely it's very important to me.
Do you think that some of these locations that give, whether they're guided tours or guided ghost hunts or, you know, some other paranormal type events, do you think those types of events are only of interest to people who want to be quote unquote ghost hunters? Or do you think it's really more general than that and people should really get out and experience some of this, whether they're into ghosts or not?
Yeah, I think everybody should give it a try at least once. I mean, I've been doing it for years, but when I first got the chance, for example, and this is definitely not in Bay City, but when I first got the chance to go to the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia, just to be in there at night, I've never been in a state hospital like that before. Like, I think I went there in 2009. And it was just so large and so cool. And just to this day, I still tell everybody about my first experience going there and how much it has improved, the building itself and how good of care the owners are taking of it. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody should have the chance at least once to go explore an old creepy asylum or something like that, because it's an adrenaline rush.
Well, one of the things that I find very interesting is that I've been a Civil War buff, Civil War historian, amateur historian for a very long time, since I was a kid. And I spent a lot of time in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and I would go there almost every year, and I went for the Civil War history. And in the last 15, maybe 20 years, now I'd say 15 years, in the last 15 years, the number of ghost tours has skyrocketed. There's at least a half a dozen of them available as you walk up and down the streets of Gettysburg. And these, I think, are very, very appropriate ways for people who aren't necessarily into the paranormal investigating to be introduced to some of these ideas of, if not just the folklore of Gettysburg or wherever the location is, but the idea of a haunted location and some haunted activity being told and related in a very safe and controlled environment. I think it probably helps the community a little bit.
Oh, definitely. You know, and all that money is being funneled back into those historic locations. And I think just for the aspect of history alone, just, you know, like I said, going, one time I was walking the asylum and I found a pair of old latex gloves or whatever that were shoved in a space. And I mean, I don't know exactly how old they were, but just that alone, it was kind of cool just finding something, you know, that might have been from the past.
Right.
So that in itself is just fun.
So tell me, in the investigations you have done in Bay City, and we're going to run out of time here because I've got to get our next guest on shortly, but in the investigations you have done, Nicole, in Bay City, have you had any great experiences of your own that you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. We were investigating at the Sage Library, and that's actually in the book, and I tell the whole story about it, but we kept getting the name Jacob. We kept getting a male saying it, or a male-sounding voice saying it, and then a female-sounding voice saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kept coming up over and over again. We contacted the librarian, and she actually pointed us in the direction of historical records that gave us some insight of to who Jacob actually was. And that is all in the book. But just to, hear the name, and, I mean, we just thought, maybe this is, a fluke or something. So we just kept saying, who's here? And each time we just kept getting the name Jacob. So that was That was a pretty awesome experience.
Wow.
And then to uncover that history of who he actually was.
That I think that's probably the most rewarding thing that can happen to somebody who's doing any type of paranormal investigating is when you actually get some kind of evidence and then you can go back into the historical record and corroborate it. That is so rewarding. I've experienced that myself, and there's nothing beats that.
Oh, not at all.
It was awesome. So when is you said 2 weeks, September 14th, the book is going to be available. Where can people find it at that point?
It should be available in like Barnes & Noble on Amazon.com. You can buy it directly through the publisher, Arcadia Publishing. I'm guessing it's probably going to be in several more spots, you know, stores. You might even be able to find it at like, you know, if you're in this area of Bay City or somewhere around here, you might be able to even find it at like your drugstore or some downtown shops. But if you're across the world or something like that, it is available right now for pre-order on Amazon.
Okay.
So you can find it in a whole bunch of different countries.
Great. If somebody was to read the book and then head to Bay City to do a little bit of poking around themselves, do you offer anything with your group that lets people investigate, or is that not something you get into?
That's a possibility for the future. We're always looking for new ways to kind of branch out from this. So mm-hmm. We're kind of in talks with some different things right now. But, there is, I will say, for 100% fact right now that the USS Edson, which is a historic naval ship, they do offer ghost hunts on the ship. It's not through our team, but nonetheless, all that money is still funneled back right into that museum, so that helps with the historic preservation.
What do you recommend for somebody who is looking to do get involved in paranormal investigating but has never done it, doesn't have a group?
I think they just kind of have to like think about like what they want to get out of the experience. For me, my what I wanted out of the experience was never really to prove anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. As weird as that may seem, mm-hmm. It's just always kind of been about seeking answers for myself. So, I mean, I guess having a goal in mind is always a good start. And then, when you finally have that goal, then you're going to want to, you can figure out, based on that goal, how much equipment you feel like you're going to need, if you need any at all, because some investigators don't use any.
I think that's a wiser way to start. I think your ears and your eyes are the best equipment to start with, and then you can add on after that. Nicole, any other books in the works for you? Are you looking to do another one?
You know what? If I get any offers after this one comes out, I might be game. So.
All right. Well, we have to let you go. We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with Haunted Bay City. It comes out September 14th. Look forward to having another reason soon to have you back on the show.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Beyond Reality Paranormal is hosted by JV Johnson and produced by Orion Palmer and Slick Eddie Edwards. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please consider supporting the program either through your podcast platform, click on the link in the description, or on Patreon at Joha Productions. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Paranormal or you have a recommendation for a guest, contact our producer, Slick Eddie Edwards. Eddie is spelled with a Y at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com.